Yo, yo, yo. Welcome to Starbucks. I'm your host, Anthony DiNardo. With me, we got Jim Rosati. Jim, we're back from Bradenton, baby. How's it going?
It's good. It's actually good to be home. Good to be home. I was going to like sleep in my own bed last night. So, yeah. But no, fun trip.
I got to say the same thing. You know, it was sad that like the trip ended, but I was looking forward to just being home in my own bed, comfortable, which I did. I actually got a pretty decent sleep. I felt rejuvenated this morning, feeling good.
There you go. Rejuvenated.
So with that said, I would say, like, you know, how's everything going? How's your Monday? But I feel like I seen you about 8 hours ago. And we'll talk about the trip. So I mean, do we really just want to get into that part?
Let's just get right into it. Yeah,
you get rid of shot one. All right, let's do it. Whoops. So as mentioned, we were in Bradenton all of last week. We came down on last Sunday, and then we left yesterday, this past Sunday. So very, very long trip. The four of us, you, myself, Tyler, and Cody, were all there. They left Saturday. We stayed the extra night to watch the other game. So let's talk about the trip. I mean, first off, for you, Jim, was it fun?
Yes, it was fun. Anytime you spend a week on the beach in beautiful weather in March and catch some baseball games while you're there, can't really beat that.
I'm with you. I had a good time. It was really, really fun for me too. Except for like the first night where it was chilly and you put us out in the cold rain and almost gave us pneumonia. Outside of that, it was nice and warm and sunny. And like you said, the days at the beach and everything, and it was a good time. But I feel like outside of just us having a good time because it was fun for us, we're just away, pretty productive. We met some people. We got a lot of footage. Cody hates us because we didn't get all the footage. I might not have pressed record one time.
I still can't believe you didn't do that. But, oh well. Makes a good people,
for the people watching or maybe, you know, listening and don't see on Twitter, we might have had Jim have Henry Davis open a box of cards, because that's kind of what we're doing at Pirate City. We're going to see if, like, you know, players want to come up and open cards with us, you know, see what they get or whatnot. And Henry pulled Endy in the pack and said, "Hey, really cool."
Henry David, last card in the pack that he opened was Endy Rodriguez, and I was like, "All right, well, that's pretty neat." He got like all excited. It was like, "Can I keep this?" I was like, "I'm going to go show Endy," and he's like, "I'm going to go get him to sign it." and
here I am.
Here you are with the phone. You're recording, quote unquote, recording the whole thing. And turns out you never hit the record button, DiNardo.
False. I hit the record button. The problem was the record button was set to photo. So I took a picture.
So it wasn't a record button. It was a photo button.
Yes. We'll get into more details about that later. But it wasn't my fault. But anyways, so that was one of the things that we should have gotten but didn't. But yeah, Cody, I mean, he vlogged pretty much the entire trip. Mm-hmm. Like I said, it was pretty fun. We talked to some people. We actually might have a future podcast guest coming on the show, Jim.
Who knows? From that trip. So, we'd have to bend some rules, so I don't know. I don't know about that.
We'll find out. But yeah, I had a good time. And the Pirates, how many games did they win that we attended? Was it two?
How many did they win? So they won the game at Fort Myers. Then they lost the game at home. They won one game.
One. Okay. Yeah. So they're 1-3 with our attendance there. So no help.
Wait, no, they won two. They won the Phillies game on Tuesday.
Okay. So it was 2-2.
2-2.
Perfect. So 500 team at least when the North Shore Nine's in attendance.
Yep.
So 82 wins this year?
No. Okay. Because we're not going to be in attendance on all of them.
Fair. Fair enough.
I am going to try to go to one of those Reds games, though, the opening weekend.
You're not going to the opener? I thought you were.
No, I'm not going to the opener.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like during the day, and I just missed a week of work, so.
Yeah, I feel like.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, with that said, anything else that you really want to talk about for the trip? Highlights?
I would say that it was pretty cool just seeing everybody, and we had a good mix of pitchers that we saw. We had a good mix of position players that we saw. It was nice to see Brian Reynolds like really start heating up that last week of spring. He looks like he's ready to go for opening day, so that was good to see. He had a really good week. I think as far as position battles go, and we'll get to that later, we kind of saw some things shake out, I think, while we were down there. I think there's probably still a couple spots that I'm still not quite sure which direction they're going to go, but mm-hmm. It feels like we've got a pretty good idea as far as the position players go. Like there may be one or two people there who are still in the mix, but for the most part, the position players seem to be getting a little bit more locked down to where they're going to be. The pitching staff, I think the staff is all there. The bullpen, I'm still not really quite sure how they're going to do this bullpen, what they're going to do here. But like I said, we'll get to that. But no, it was just a great, if you haven't had the chance to get to spring training before, it's something that, like, if you can do it, I recommend doing it. If you're a baseball fan, just the environment and the atmosphere at games is just incredible. It's like a super, it's not like a regular baseball game. Like it's laid back. The players are laid back. They interact with the fans more, the coaches, everybody's like right there. You're right on the field. It's just a really cool atmosphere that you get, in particular at Lecom Park, because it's so small and intimate that, you kind of get to interact with some people while you're there. So really cool spot. Definitely recommend going if you haven't. It's a little late in the year now, but as far as next year goes, yeah, try to make it down for, a long weekend or a week if you're able to. Definitely something I recommend doing.
Yeah, for sure. It's definitely a vibe. And mm-hmm. like you said, just the fact that, for the most part, if you really wanted to interact with a player, you probably could, So that's cool. Especially like for the kids as well. A lot of autographed baseballs headed their way. And our big giant kid, Cody, when we might have a restraining order from Robbie.
I don't know what the
teaser for the vlog,
but like he said, hey to Robbie, probably 15 times
at least.
And then the craziest thing was we're going to go check into the hotel that last day. And we're all sitting there in the lobby. And then Robbie walks into the lobby. I'm like, this dude legit has to think that like Cody is stalking him.
Yes.
Like he's seen him like three different games. He keeps yelling at him and now he shows up at the hotel. It was funny.
Yeah. Yeah. There's definitely going to be a funny clip and video of Robbie and Cody, but I do want to apologize on behalf of all Venice Nine to Robbie. I'm sorry. And no, we weren't stalking you, but yeah, he did moments before Cody got on a plane. In the hotel, he saw Robbie, and I think Robbie saw him and just beeline to the elevator.
Oh, yeah.
So
he was like, not this guy. Not this guy again.
Not again. Yeah. So that was our trip. It was pretty fun. I'm sure, like, and it's not live. We'll talk a little bit more, and we'll have, Tyler on with us as well to do so. But, so that was our trip. So I guess next, do we want to talk about, for our double shot, we got to talk about Endy? The roster moves.
Roster moves, yeah.
We are going to talk about the roster moves. Yeah, so the Pirates have made a slew of cuts these past few days. I think none were too shocking, of course. I think there was a few that you you were worried that weren't going to get cut. I'll put it that way. But then there was certainly one that made a big difference. You know, heading into this week, we were intrigued on some position battles. And then we talked about on last week's show, in terms of like the outfield, you know, the battle going on and how Swaggerty has performed pretty well. And then obviously not so much for Sawinski, but, you know, Kane Smith-Ajigba has also, and like, what are they going to do in the outfield? Well, I think we got a little bit clearer. Swaggerty was one of the cuts. He and Tucapito Marcano were optioned down to AAA. Obviously, for others, I want to talk about Chris Owings and Tyler Chatwood were also opted out of their deals and reassigned to Indianapolis.
And was then, Owings?
Yeah, Chris Owings was.
He was.
He's still in camp because he was still playing. But he did. Okay. They both had their opt out on Saturday, I think, right? And they both opted out but accepted the assignment in Indy.
I miss Chris Owings. Yeah. Okay. Now I see it. Yeah. Okay.
And then actually, I'll apologize. And then the most recent yesterday, Angel Perdomo and Miguel Andujar reassigned to minor league camp as well.
Yeah. The ones I want to talk about the most is Swaggerty. You know, he was somebody who, you know, we thought had a, first off, he had a really good spring. You know, solid showing, looked good defensively, probably better defensively than anybody out there. And then when you look at the Pirates outfield, just top to bottom, and you're looking at defense, probably not the strongest defensive outfield in the majors. So like having Swaggerty on the team made sense just to kind of help them in that regard. And like I said, he had a really good spring hitting too. So a little bit surprising, I guess, but he was, I mean, going into spring training, you would have said that he was probably on the outside looking in, and turns out he just wasn't able to do enough to change that, right? There was just too many people he had to jump over. So Swaggerty will start the year in AAA, which leaves that last, you know, outfield spot open. Do they go with Kanan Smith-Ajigba? Do they go with Mark Mathias, who can kind of play all over the place? I don't know. We've got, you know, 2 or 3 days here for them to decide. So we'll see what happens with that. But that was kind of my Swaggerty thoughts. You know, I'm not high on Swaggerty. I haven't been in a while. But he certainly looked capable this spring of showing that, like, maybe he could be a fourth or fifth outfielder. I still sure. Like, I'm nowhere near the train where like Swaggerty's an everyday player, but like, could he be a fourth or fifth outfielder in the majors? Maybe. Like, there's still something there. I think he showed us that there's still something there, which, you know, I guess if you look at it, had he not performed this spring, like, I mean, he's probably a DFA candidate, right?
Right.
At least he didn't do that. He's still on the 40 man. He's still probably going to play a part on this team at some point this year with injuries and things like that. Yeah. So Swaggerty being sent down definitely like makes the outfield roster a little clearer. It's just now a matter of, do they go with Smith-Ajigba? Do they go with, you know, do they carry Mathias? Cause he can just be very versatile. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
My thoughts, if it were me, or my thoughts on how the Pirates will operate?
Both.
Let's do two separate things. But I almost, and maybe it's just me, you know, wishing that they make the right and correct decision. Me personally, I'm going to have Kanan Smith-Ajigba. I really don't care about Mark Mathias on this team at all. Not intrigued by Mark Mathias on this team. The trade to me just felt like whatever. You know, maybe just adding some more depth to this roster, if anything, but not to bring in talent for this 26-man roster, if that makes sense. You know, it's not like, oh, we got to get our hands on Mark Mathias. He's available now. So I hope they make the correct decision, go with Kanan Smith-Ajigba. And I feel like that's what they're going to do. I feel like that's what they're going to do. But I'm with you. You know, like if it were me, I think everyone is pretty clear on my stance. I wouldn't mind seeing Sawinski option down and having Kanan Smith-Ajigba and Swaggerty, because just like you said, heading into the season, like Swaggerty's certainly a DFA candidate. I felt like he's, you know, one of the next up on the chopping block. And I felt like that because of his performance, right, up until this year. And I know a lot of it isn't like truly his fault. He had a lost season, he had his injury, but like he just hasn't performed. The development hasn't really been there. And you see like where he was in the picking order last year. You know, he really didn't get a chance. All these other guys got a chance. Like Cal Mitchell got well more of a chance than, you know, Swaggerty did. But seeing his spring, he performed. Now, here's the thing. Like, I don't want to get forward in the spring training stats. I'm not going to say, well, hey, in these 29 at-bats, here's what Swaggerty did. So he's good. You know, he's fixed it. He's a good player now. Send him up there. But I guess what I'm getting at is I felt like if you're going in the three, it's Sawinski, Kenyon Smith-Ejigba, and Swaggerty. Now, Swaggerty did what he needed to do to compete. Was that enough to jump not just Kenyon Smith-Ejigba, but also Sawinski? You know, I guess that's where we're at. And again, there's just 29 spring training at-bats that we're talking about. So I'm not going to judge too harsh on that. But again, like me personally, Sawinski is just having the same issues this spring that he had last year. That is what got him to AAA, right? Like the Pirates said, you need to be in AAA because of this. And this is what he's doing today. So that's why I'm okay, because if this year presented anything, we talked, it was actual competition. These dudes are competing, and Sawinski's not doing it. Like, he is not winning this job. He's only winning it based off of he was there last year and got the amount of at-bats last year, right? So I'm okay with it. Again, like, we're talking about, if anything, I feel like the ceiling, just like you said, on this player in Swaggerty is a fourth or maybe fifth outfielder. Like, that's what we're talking about. We're not going crazy because this is an Andy Rodriguez talent that's getting screwed over because of service time manipulation. Like, this is just their decision of what they want to do, which is fine. It's fine. That's how they decided. It's not what I would have done. But ultimately, at the end of the day, is this really going to make a difference? Like, is this really, really going to make a difference? Maybe for the pitchers, there's going to be, you know, a couple balls they wished he would have been in the outfield for, not Reynolds or Sawinski or potentially Bay. Mm-hmm. But I don't think this is like the big deal some people made this out to be.
Yeah, I guess I'm just not quite there yet. Like, I don't think Swaggerty has shown enough to jump over Jack Sawinski. And I don't even know if Kenyon Smith-Ejigba has done that either. Like, you still have to take into account the 372 plate appearances last year that Jack Sawinski was a league average hitter at age 23. So, like, that has a lot more weight to it than spring. And at the end of the day, like, yeah, he struck out in 30% of those at bats for last year, but, and he's striking out a lot this year, but, you know, he still got results. Like, and I'm not saying they were great results. He's a corner outfielder. A league average hitter is like the worst.
No, he's a center fielder.
Yeah. You know, a corner outfielder, league average hitter, like he can't really get any worse than that. Like, that's got to be his floor in order to be productive. But like, the guy had almost two WAR last year, played 106 games. Like, I don't think you can send the guy down just for having like a mediocre spring training, because that's what it was. It wasn't a terrible. He hasn't had a terrible spring. Has he struck out a lot? Yeah, but like, the numbers aren't awful. So he's kind of doing, again, you mentioned he's doing what he did last year. He's striking out a lot, but you're still getting a little bit of production out of him. And I said, we're both to the point where, like, we don't think Swinsky's a everyday outfielder, but
no,
I think he can be a just fine fourth or fifth outfielder on even a good team. I mean, like I said, last year, I think there were a lot of teams who would have liked to have Jack Sawinski on their bench. So
yeah,
I'm just not quite ready to like write him off yet and send him down, because what he did last year did happen. And yeah, like, he got to a league average season in a roundabout way, but that's what it was. And he was only 23 years old.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I get it. I'm not going to go too deep on this. I guess I just feel I'm with you. Like, I'm not writing him off and saying like he's not an MLB player. There's dudes in this camp right now. I mean,
are there?
Okay.
I mean,
no, there's not. There's guys though. Okay, I know I'm talking to you. So your definition, dudes and guys. There's guys though. Last year there weren't even guys. You know, like, there was just cardboard cutouts. That's all you had to beat, right?
Yeah.
This year, there's guys. There's actual true competition. And I feel like last year, Sawinski was a tale of two seasons. There was the beginning part when he first got caught up, when he reached, I think, his pinnacle was like a 132 weighted run career plus. Like, he was looking like a dude. Mm-hmm. And then seemed like maybe pitchers kind of figured it out. And he wasn't a dude anymore. And he struggled. And he got sent down. When he was in Indy last year, he still struggled. Got caught up regardless, struggled. And I feel like, again, like the last 2 weeks kind of picked up a little bit. But regardless, like, it was two seasons. The last part of it was him just not a good player at all. And that's what's translating like this year. And again, like, I wanted to see true competition. And it's not like we're talking about Andrew McCutchen. Like, oh, you're starting. You're given this. Like, I feel like Jack Sawinski still needs to earn it.
Absolutely.
And he hasn't really earned it. And I guess it's just because, like, we're talking about two guys also in Smith and Jigba and Swagger that haven't really earned too much on accolades before this year. So we're just going off of spring. And again, you want to overreact to spring. But anyways, I would prefer him go down to say, listen, you two earned this. He didn't. This was about competition. You guys won. And here you go. And Kaden Smith and Jigba has a hot bat right now. He's looking pretty good, unlike Sawinski. And then Swaggerty has the outfield defense that you're looking for. So, like, you get both of those in there. I don't know. Regardless, not going to go too much deeper on it. It is what it is. It's not the biggest deal in the world. So that's that. But like you said, I guess if anything, we're seeing the outfield picture clear up a little bit. I just really hope they don't go with Mathias. Like,
yeah. I mean, I think, you know, I would definitely be leaning Kaden Smith and Jigba at this point. I could see them doing Mathias, though. Like, they went out and they got him. Like, they actually, like, traded a person for him. And then at the same time, like, he – small sample size last year, but he played well, right? So, like, do you look to see if maybe he can expand on that? Because, like, if Mark Mathias can give you what Mark Mathias gave, you know – the Brewers and the Rangers last year, and talking about someone who doesn't really suck. So it'll just be curious to see. I'm curious to see what they do. And like I said, he was a late addition to camp, but like, once he went to Texas last year, he raked. It was just 24 games. Right. So, I mean, it was, again, real small sample size, but he looked really good in those games, and he looked really good in AAA when he was down there. So I don't know. I wouldn't be like completely against Mark Mathias being on this team, but I think you've got to have a pretty short leash on him. You know, if you do, like, if Mark Mathias isn't performing by the end of April, then sorry, Mark Mathias, it's been real, but you got to go now.
Please don't rationalize that for me ever again.
But like, I mean, you can't argue with the numbers last year. I mean, and again, like I said, small sample size. Sure. Like, we said this about Greg Allen.
Still struck out a ton. Right? Like I don't.
Greg Allen had this crazy good 4 weeks for the Yankees 2 years ago, and he basically made the roster because of that, right? So it's similar situation. Greg Allen, obviously, we found out that wasn't him, right? But who knows? Maybe Mark Mathias has something to offer this team. I'm not quite sure.
All right. You done?
Yeah.
I was about to just cut you off and go in the triple shot because I don't want to hear any more about Mark Mathias.
We're good. We're good. Yeah, go ahead.
No, for real, though. Yeah, let's go to the triple shot then. But good argument, Jim. I don't want to rationalize that. I'm not ready.
No, you're good.
All right, so now let's go into an argument that we're definitely both on the same side for. So Andy Rodriguez was optioned down to AAA. We've already discussed that, I think, on the last show. That happened before our last show, right? So we did mention it?
Yeah.
Okay, I couldn't remember now. But regardless, so yeah, he's optioned, we know that. But why are we going to bring it up again? Well, because the Cardinals and Yankees have made a decision on some of their top prospects. So Jim, enlighten us. What did the Cardinals and Yankees do these past couple of days?
Yeah, so the Cardinals came out and said that, you know, their number one prospect, Jordan Walker, who is, you know, Fangraphs has ranked as the number 12 overall prospect in baseball. But Jordan Walker, at the age of 20, he is 20, will turn 21 in May. But 20 years old, Jordan Walker has made the St. Louis Cardinals. Jordan Walker, by the way, has zero AAA plate appearances. He had, you know, a full season in Double A last year where he didn't hit as well as Andy Rodriguez did at Double A. Just throwing that in there. Sure. But yeah, Jordan Walker will make the St. Louis Cardinals, and I gotta imagine that he becomes a pretty hot Rookie of the Year candidate along with Corbin Carroll over in Arizona. Those are probably like the 1-2 guys in the National League. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Jordan Walker. I mean, the guy is a physical specimen. Fangraphs list him at 6'5", 220. I think he's more like 6'5", 250 or 60. Like, the dude's a monster. Tons of power, can hit. I just have like PTSD thinking about what this guy's going to do the Pirates over the next like decade, but we'll talk about that when it happens. But yeah, Jordan Walker makes the Cardinals. And then we found out yesterday that Anthony Volpe makes the New York Yankees. Volpe is number 11 prospect, according to Fangraphs. Volpe, another guy who, struggled in his, month at AAA or so, struck out 30% of the time, only hit 236, did really well at AA, but also didn't do as well as Andy at AA or AAA. So, 22 AAA games, and Anthony Volpe is now a New York Yankee.
Yep. And I just want to say him too. Talking about doing well in Double A, I mean, Volpe had a 122 weighted runs created plus, batted 251 on base, 348, slugged 472. I mean, it's good. I'm gonna take it away, but it wasn't like when Tyler brings up, when's the last time a Pirates prospect has just like dominated? Like, Volpe falls in that line of he played well. Mm-hmm. He played well.
He had 50 stolen bases too, so gotta kind of throw that in there.
Yeah. Okay. Well, 44 Double A. No, but yeah, all the overall 50 stolen bases. Yeah, but like he said, he played well, and then he struggled in Triple A, and the Yankees were like, "Hey, kid, you're our starting shortstop." Why can't the Pirates ever do this?
Because they're coward.
There is an Andy Rodriguez that we talked about. There's an Andy Rodriguez who just blew through the levels last year and just dominated, and like he comes in the spring and looks good at spring. And I know, again, like, we're talking about spring training. Like, I'm not trying to overvaluate spring training bats. It's just what he did last year and then coming in and still doing that in spring. Like, this dude just looks ready.
He looks absolutely ready. He's ready. And like, you're not going to convince me that his defense is so far behind that he's not ready. Like, he is ready to be a major league catcher. And especially when your other option is literally, like, and this isn't like, you know how I speak in hyperbole, he is literally the worst hitter in Major League Baseball over the last 5 years. That's right. Not hyperbole. It's true. Austin Hedges is the worst hitter in Major League Baseball over the last 5 years. Austin Hedges has a job because he's good defensively, right? But Austin Hedges would make a really good backup to Andy Rodriguez. Like, Andy Rodriguez should be the everyday catcher. Austin Hedges should be the backup. I don't understand how. Like, I, you can tell me all you want. The dude's only had 37 games above high A ball. I don't care. The dude crushed the ball in those 37 games. And then you saw him all spring training and he looks ready. Like, he passes the eye test. He hits the ball hard. He puts up good at bats. The guy's ready to play Major League Baseball, especially when you're comparing him to the guy who's starting in his position. So, you've got a position where now the Pirates have to decide between, oh, do we take Tyler Heineman or Jason DeLay north with us? And there's Andy Rodriguez sitting right there in AAA. So, I mean, I've already made my thoughts well known on this, but it's disgusting. Like, he's one of the best players on the team. He should be on the team. that's where we're at.
I just want you to stop. Like, that's you're where not I'm talking about. He's one of the best prospects. You're not talking about he's one of the best players in Indy. You're legit talking. He's one of the best, one of the better players on the Pittsburgh Pirates 26-man roster.
He's one of the best players in the Pittsburgh Pirates organization. Like, he's probably a top five player.
So top again, 10, today we're talking. Sure, that's fair. Yeah. A top 10 player on the Pittsburgh Pirates, and he's not on the 26-man roster.
Yeah.
And again, like, I know Tyler and I really went into it. You did more on the comment section, so allow you here a little venting, but I'm not going to go too much deeper into that aspect of it as well, because we already did. But right, I mean, it's just like, he is showing that he can play. And you brought in an Austin Hedges because he's very good at the pitchers, and he's going to be a very good mentor. So why not start the mentoring process? Like, if his defensively is where he has some improvement to go on, why not have it with Austin Hedges? Like, who's going to be like, I'm not trying to, like, I guess I want to word this correctly, but if he does lack defensively, what in AAA is really going to help him out that he can't learn in the majors? If that makes sense.
No, you're right.
With the bat, I can maybe see a little bit. The bat's ready. Like, the bat is ready.
The bat's
defensively,
ready.
What difference does AAA present than the major leagues? Especially when you have Austin Hedges right there.
Yeah, man, I'm just going to keep going back to, like, with the Pirates moves this offseason, you know, they did, like, the bare minimum to help this team. So, like, they're not actively trying to lose baseball games anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But until Andy Rodriguez is in the majors, they're not trying to win.
Yeah.
You can't tell me that the team's trying to win baseball games when they're keeping one of their best players in the minors. That's right. The opposite of trying to win.
Now, to me, it's even less about that.
That's what it's about to me. Like, try to win.
I know.
It's a baseball game. Like, you need to try to win. Play your best players. Andy Rodriguez.
To me, it still just comes in the strategy. Like, the Yankees and Cardinals are doing it. Like, not only are they trying to win and sending their best 26 up, but they're also trying to be advantageous and collect a draft pick, potentially.
Yeah, I get that. Like, Anthony Volpe, though, doesn't strike me as someone who's going to be a rookie of the year candidate.
Okay.
Like, I guess he could, but
well,
like,
maybe. I mean, he has the potential to.
He has the potential to, now that he's at least playing.
So give him a shot. Like, give him a shot. And for all those, everyone else, like, oh, the extra year. You send down your player for 2 weeks, you got that extra year. Mm-hmm. So give him a shot. Again, if he's not performing, you have a reason to send him down to AAA. Hey, you're not performing. Correct. Thank you, Google. So, like, if Andy isn't performing in the middle of May and it's clear he's not making rookie of the year, you know what, kid? We gave you the shot. You're not performing. Let's work on some things. Or the all-star break. I mean, you already did with
Contreras.
Contreras last year. So, like, why can't you do it with Andy? You've already done it. Now, there was real reason, like, limits, you know, the innings, like, I understand that, but you could do that performance-based, too. You gave him his opportunity. He didn't do it. You set him down, call him back up, and the day, you win. It's a win-win situation. You can give him up, go let him play, mm-hmm. potentially get a draft pick, or he's not there, and you set him back down, and you still win because you got your extra year.
Yeah, I think that's the thing that, like, I don't know if people understand that, but, yeah, you can send players down, like, after you call them up.
Right.
And it doesn't, like, ruin their careers.
No.
Like there's a lot of people where it's like, oh, well, if you call him up, he's got to be here to stay. He's got to be ready. It's like, not really. Like, you can send him down and he can figure things out and come back. That happens all the time.
Literally all the time. But anyways, I digress. But yes, so the Yankees, Cardinals, and we're not finished yet. I'm sure there's going to be more coming out. But so far, they're the ones that are doing things correctly. Kudos to them. And for the, you know, again, the people like, well, the Mets didn't do it with, you know, Brabady. Well, the Mets are dumb then. Like, again, I have the same issue, just like I said on NS9 Live with Tyler. Like, this isn't just a Pirates versus the world. Like, oh, the Pirates, it's any team. So for the Mets doing it with him as well, like, that's stupid. Because I think he, like, again, maybe even less than Andy Rodriguez. But, like, to me, he seems kind of safe. Maybe not the high ceiling sense, but, like, hey, maybe he'll get rookie of the year. Go try. And the Mets, they're trying to win too, you would think. And money's not an option for them, clearly. So the Mets are dumb for doing that for him as well.
Yeah.
It is what it is. Every team that does this, to my mind, is just dumb. Unless there's real, real things, like real struggles, like we talked about last year with Contreras. Like, I was okay with him because I knew the innings and the injury risk and such. And O'Neal Cruz, like, you better be there day one. And he wasn't. Mm-hmm. Contreras, I could understand. And I wouldn't get totally upset about that. Andy, again, like, there's no reason he should be here. Yankees, Cardinals, proven it that you can do it.
Yeah. Oh, well. Oh, well.
So that's basically what happened this week. I guess we'll get out here, but just touch up, you know, again. Kenny Smith-Ajigba having a really good spring. Ke'Bryan Hayes having a really good spring, too. I'm so excited for him. So excited for him right now.
The slugging percentage is nice to see. The fact that he's hitting the ball hard in the air is nice.
Yeah. I mean, actual results are there. Batting .333, slugging .750, OPS of 1,092. The StatCast stuff is there. Just the eye test is there. Man, I hope he has a breakout season.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen this from Hayes before. So, you know, I'm a little leery, but if he can carry it over to the regular season, then watch out.
Yeah. Good thing is he seems healthy right now too, heading into opening day.
Yep.
Hopefully we don't jinx that. But all right. So I guess, are we done here? We're going to get out of here now.
Yeah, let's get out of here.
Let's do it. All right. Well, everyone, thank you guys for watching. We'll see you guys this week in NSN Live, maybe some post games. So we'll see you later. Bye-bye.
See you guys.
Hey, you all. Thank you for watching. I know we try to provide the most entertaining content that we can, and we'd love to spread it to as many people as possible. So I know it doesn't seem like a lot, but if you could take the 5 seconds to like this video and subscribe to the page, it helps out so much more than you know. Thank you, and let's go Bucks.